That's what abusers do, by the way. I spent years ago, spent some time working with people who were abusers to get a sense of what they were thinking and what they were doing as they did what they did to people. And I got pretty incredible information, and it kept coming true as I touched bodies. Like, oh, they are pushing stuff in. So even that idea that you identified with it, or that you, sometimes it's just that it was got pushed in such a way, and you want to know the difference, it helps you feel safe again when you know. Because a lot of people keep saying, it's, who was a client I worked with, and he kept saying that he was told in his therapy over 20 years that he had to relax his jaw and speak out. And he kept feeling that there was something wrong with him, like he clammed up and he did this because of all the abuse he suffered at the hands of his father. Like this was his choice. But one day we were working and somehow it got really clear and he goes, wait, I was bound and gagged. Okay? That was like such a moment for him. He cried. He was like, I didn't clench my jaw. I didn't stop my voice. I didn't do that to protect myself. That was done to me. And that opened up a whole nother space for him to start to like, oh, okay. And then we could deal with that injury. Then we could treat that as an injury and not as something that he chose to do in response to. Like with sometimes with people, I feel like I don't even know what your response to the trauma is yet. Because we're still dealing with all the ways that it injured your being, your body. I'm willing to be with you to find out what it is. But a lot of the responses that I keep hearing, I'm like, oh, that's the injury still. That's how you were injured. So that's right on about that, the difference
well,
between
the two. Well, I think it's a question, too, in terms about resonance. And when is it resonance and when is it taking in?
What I understand by what you're saying is that it's my when I'm resonating, you know, it's cool. You know what I mean? It's okay. I can deal with that. But when an abuser has the intention of me taking it on, it's all intention. It's their intention.
Yeah, that's what I would say to you. That's a good way to separate it
and
out.
And I can pick up people's intentions like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you radar.
Right, exactly. That's what you'll start to develop. Like, uh-oh, that's somebody who's trying to push something down my throat. Okay, because we'll say, a lot of times we use that language, I swallowed it. And I keep thinking, you know, like at 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or those ages, you don't even know how to make that decision to swallow it or not swallow it. It's pushed in. Does that make sense to you? You know what I mean? Like, and that's been a big discovery for us in working with the body. Like, that's been really useful. So that even all the things we have on the list of defense kind of ideas, we're saying, no, oh, I think that's still the trauma. Oh, no, I think that's still the trauma. Oh, maybe here's a response. You know? It just interests me that way because the language, we keep using it that way, and then we treat people that way.
I think that what you have been saying, whether it feels good to you and you're going to know it, because we want limbic resonance when we're working with people, right? We want that resonance that feels healing and that feels good because we're constantly in co-regulation with the people that we're with, right? We don't always self-regulate. We co-regulate, right? So I love that image about the idea of vibration, right? And you pick it up and then you vibrate. And that happens in our families, right? It happens. We get messages that aren't always explicit. It goes into the implicit area, right? Because it goes like that. You're vibrating with a message that may be in the family. One of the ways sometimes we ask our clients is, what was the song that you would say was always playing in your family, right? And you kind of get that, oh, yeah, that's the vibration that was there. It might not have been spoken, but it still gets in. So I think just being able to be conscious and checking in with your body, seeing if you like it, because sometimes the resonance is positive and you want it. It can be healing and co-regulating. It's just sometimes you'll know when it's not.
I just wanted to share that when my partner asked where to touch me, I realized, gee, I didn't really know. So I kind of picked sort of what she had picked, and it felt good. But I noticed when the lady over there was mentioning that she was touched at her heart and her back, I started to cry. And so it's a clue to me that obviously I had a mom who didn't touch. She was very intellectual. And I'm realizing I could cry right now. I don't even know where to ask, but it felt so good hearing where she was touched.
Yeah,
so I just wanted to share that. It was like a revelation for me.
Hi. So I'm experiencing some cognitive dissonance on two counts. One is on the whole idea of when a person is genuinely a victim and when society is telling them, don't be a victim, okay? Own what happened, acknowledge your part in it, and all this other stuff. And what I'm hearing you say is that sometimes we are victimized. Somebody shoves it down our throat. We didn't ask for it, right? Okay, so I can say that there is genuine victimhood.
Yeah, and that's a relief for a lot of people. Like, absolutely. Like, who at 5 or 6 would know how to leave their body?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When people say that, and they go, I go, like, you got pushed out. You know, like, that's what somebody bigger would know how to do.
So the other cognitive dissonance is on the whole issue of touch. Because in my training, going in the 70s and 80s and so forth, the therapist does not touch the client. It causes all kinds of transferential problems, this, that, and the other thing. And I think we live in a culture where touch is not considered appropriate unless you're beating the hell out of somebody on the football field or whatever. So it's really kind of causing a lot of conflict.
Yeah, we went through a lot of that, like during the 70s and 80s and stuff, doing the trainings, because it was a big. I'm a licensed psychologist.
Yeah.
I had to, like, my board asked me about it all, and they were fine with it, which was really interesting to me.
Wow.
Because what it says in the ethics is you can't do touch that's harmful. But it doesn't really say you can't touch. But I hear you. In terms of the countries, we are rated the second lowest in touch. They do an experiment, research, and they show when we have a conversation, we touch maybe once to twice in a half hour, if that. Okay, England is below us. They touch. What can I say? But like in France, they touch like 16, 17 times in an hour, right? So there's a lot of research, right? Waitresses and waiters who touch, they get bigger tips. Okay, if they just touch you on the... So touch is really essential, and you're right. I'm worried in our culture that we're losing touch in a real way, and this is why we've dedicated so much of our time to do this, because we see amazing results when people get touched. Exactly, in a lot of the ways. Yeah.
I just want to say that study that was done about waitresses was not conscious. It was an inadvertent thing. They just happened to watch the behavior.
Right.
So you're not being manipulated. It just was.
Yeah.
It was
that's actually really important.
It was not like, I'm going to touch you so your tip gets better at all.
It was just
an inadvertent thing.
That's what they were watching.
Yeah, thanks. I've got just a couple things that are coming to mind. And what you just said. In addition to other things I do, I've been a working chiropractor for about 32 years, and I realize that some of the people I have my hands on, they don't get touched anywhere else. And so that safe place, even in a more clinical environment, knowing that they're cared for, is really crucial. The other thing is some of this is coming to other relationships, not just personal or individual, because for a while, being around people that were dealing with cancer, my sister included, and things shoved on them. She had some horrendous treatment and was told she failed the treatment. And she said to me, I failed the treatment. And I'm like, what? You know, I mean, that was dissonance, you know, in for me. So I think this is really insidious, what you're talking about, very important.
Yeah.
I think one of the things you were talking about being victim, I think, and we don't want to stay in victimhood where you feel powerless or you have no agency, but when you know that something actually happened to you that you had no power over, then you get to regain your innocence. And there's something very, very beautiful about regaining your innocence. Over here first.
Yes. So I was abused sexually as a child. I'm a survivor of incest. And so that sort of seemed to have imprinted me, and I was sexually harassed and assaulted throughout my life, periodically, right? Very common for many of us. Now, 30 years later, I'm very grateful to be alive, and I work with a lot of other survivors just in a peer support group, and I'm part of a survivors network. But so just before we get too carried away about saying we need to touch more, I mean, there's a whole lot of us in the room, I hope, I would think, that are just so relieved that there's a message getting through to men that, no, you don't get to just touch me anytime you want in any way you want, and that we also are no longer believing that we don't, you don't know when it's a sexual touch. You know, like, oh, well, I guess I can't touch anybody. But no, I mean, there's got to be... I love the work you're doing, and I think much of my healing was luckily I found my way to body work. But, I'm constantly weighing all this stuff, because what happened to the touch in our culture? Well, maybe it was because so much of the touch was sexualized from the time we were little, and the epidemic and pandemic of child sexual abuse is so rampant that we are not touching because we're finally trying to get... to a place where we feel safe again. I don't know, yeah. But I didn't appreciate
yeah,
your...
Yeah, I agree with you totally. We've been with this all the years we've been doing it because it's been such a difficult thing in terms of when somebody comes in, touch is what they got injured with. So we have to go really careful, really slowly, you know. I forget who it was, but somebody said a comment that... do you remember? You don't even know what I'm talking about. I wanted to know.
Not that good.
Come on, you know. See how it happens. Right. So somebody said something like this. I can't remember the whole thing, but he said, you know, to believe that you can't be healed, like that, like if you got injured
by... injured by words.
Thank you.
Right? Does that mean that you can't use words to heal? So if you got injured by touch, it does not mean you can't use touch to heal. What's important is that it's in the healing context, not in the sexual or the abusive. See, I did remember.
I knew she knew. It was resonating. Yeah, somebody...
Well, I've been thinking about speaking because, among other things, I'm a massage therapist, and people have been coming to me for years for their regular touch, and they're open and honest about it. And other people come to me and say, only work on my legs today, or only work on my hands, my arms today. And so creating a safe space so that the touch can be reincorporated. And I just think it's important for each of us to figure out how to get the adequate touch. And there was a funny article in the Washington Post a couple of weeks ago that there's this new organization starting over Georgetown, of course, in the Alexandria area, that has people signing up for touch, just a half an hour of touch, and it's like really expensive. I mean, we might want to get into this.
That's great to hear. Yeah, there's somebody.
Just 1 second. The safety. One of the things is that safety is in your nervous system, right? And so everything has to be safe. Safety is the bedrock of any kind of treatment, and particularly of treating of trauma. And as Stephen Porges says, right, he says safety is the treatment, right? That it's, and nothing else really matters. When you can get the body and the being to feel safe, then that's the healing. So all touch has to be within that safe zone.
That was with us as we designed even this afternoon. What would we do with a big group like this and talk about safety and bring safety? Okay, so we had to take you to a place where you felt safe. Okay, that was really important. Then we could add the touch. Okay, and if you still didn't want to do it, we had to let you know you don't have to. Right? It's all those considerations. I think of it like what we do is we're very considerate. We consider a lot whenever we go to touch somebody. And even when we go to present, we really consider every exercise we go to do. How do we do this in a way? How do we structure it so that there's safety in the space? So what I'm liking now is everything you're sharing is also just bringing safety into the space. So when we go to tomorrow and the next day, we'll have that accessible to us. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Getting to the end. But what I wanted to say was I think part of the issue or confusion about touch, because I work with children, and as you know, touch is very important for children. The younger they are, the more they need it. And so, but then people get worried and concerned. It's not just that someone might abuse a child who's working with them, but that children might falsely accuse. Because you know that children who have been sexually abused are often, or even physically abused, are very confused about touch. Sometimes children who have been both physically and sexually abused will not know what is a good or a bad touch, and they're very hypervigilant. But they still need touch, so it becomes a very complicated thing. And one of the problems now for people working with young children is when and how you touch them. It's clear that they need to be touched, but how do you do it in a way that it's very clear that you're not being sexual? And this is all on the adult side, because the kids don't.
No, but it's really important what you're talking about. Uh-huh. This is always the material we were looking at. Like, how do we keep coming back and keep creating safe touch? Like, every time we do a presentation and people feel like, okay, that touch was good, we feel like, good, that's another group of people that are going out into the world, you know, because we have this world view with the work. We don't want to just heal the person. We want the world to start to get this information, like that there are ways to tell the difference. There are ways when it resonates, you know, in terms of touch. And you're right, there's so much around it. I'm looking at the time. It's 4 o'clock, so we want to close. But before we do, we just want to have our people stand up so you get to see the people that are in our training, that have trained, and one who's in our training, and just introduce them to you. If you just want to say your names, or do you want to? Yeah, let's just have them hear your voice again.
I'm Alex.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Helena.
Who knew I was right next to one of my people? I'm Aita.
I'm Mara.
Hello, I'm Sarah.
Great, so these people are around. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm Ramona.
So these are all people out there touching. So if during the course of your time here, you want to have a question or you want to have a conversation with them, it would be really great. Just, you know, ask away. And we want to close on one.
I want to add one more thing.
Oh, sure.
We're talking about touching with our hands, and that's very, very important. But we also touch with our words. We touch with our hearts. And now all of this comes through with our tone, with our face. Right, and this is one of the things that, you know, again, the polyvagal and Stephen Porges talks about, and what we really work with, because there's other, we touch in many ways, and to know that we do that. So we touch with our hearts, we touch with our hands, we touch with our words.
I just want, where's that quote at? Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for all you're doing. Good to recognize you. And we had one quote we wanted to finish on, which I couldn't find. Okay, here.
What we're talking about as well was this idea of our presence and our compassionate presence, holding the space as we listen and we hear other people, and how important and how healing that is. So the quote, it actually comes from Bonnie Badenoch, who Ramona introduced me to. Wonderful, wrote a book called The Heart of Trauma. It's a very beautiful book. Each moment of our lives is potentially therapeutic as we seek to deepen our presence with one another. So our presence matters. Your presence matters.
Yeah.
The Heart of Trauma, Bonnie Badenoch.
So thank you all. Do you have anything you want to come up and say? We appreciate being with you today in safety, and we look forward to spending time with you tomorrow.
It is such a joy to be with you. Honestly, to be part of this community is just so life-affirming.